Hello there, welcome along. It's the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We're going to look back on a very dramatic final round of the USPGA. And then we'll look ahead to three tournaments this week. We've got the Charles Schwab, which features a stellar field over in America. We've got the Dutch Open, and there's also the USPGA Seniors Championship. So all the stars from yesteryear. Steve is armed with tips, and he will unleash them on us very soon. But first of all, Steve, that was some night, wasn't it? I mean, we were doing the live show, and I think it turned into a five-hour broadcast, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, I am absolutely knackered. I mean, the USPGA was exhausting from the moment the tee times were announced to the moment Cameron Young failed to chip in at the last, because the tee times, we were all waiting for them, and they had a huge bearing on the tournament. And then Justin Thomas managed to overcome the draw bias and emerge triumphant. My hopes were all pinned on Cameron Young, and he was in contention until he double bogeyed the 16th hole on Sunday. That was a real gut buster. And Sweet Spot live viewers got to see my gut busted live on YouTube. So that was nice for them.
I thought you held it together pretty well, really. And then, of course, not only did you have the torment of Young losing, but then we were on air for another hour, weren't we? The three-hole playoff. So thanks a lot, Mito Pereira, for that. But anyway,
the USPGA need to change that rule, don't we? We can't be having three-hole playoffs. They're not good for us.
I mean, look, regardless of whether we were on air, to be honest, that was the most fun part, because people were firing in either ors, weren't they? And I quite enjoyed that. But I mean, I'm just not sure. I just think the sudden death playoff is, you know, it's an established popular way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah. We were saying it should either be the 18-hole Monday playoff. We didn't mind the 18-hole Monday playoff the sudden death.
I don't want that.
Well, that was my opinion.
Sudden death. If you can't win it normally, then you do it. But I mean, you know, looking back, you have to give full credit to Justin Thomas, because not only did he overcome the draw bias, he held it together. And basically, I mean, he got back into it, really, because those four rookies were all just finding it very, very difficult to get their first, you know, they hadn't even won on tour, never mind a major. So he just stayed in the zone and got to -5, and that turned out to be the number, didn't it?
It was a fascinating tournament, because after round one, it looked at the mercy of Rory McIlroy. It was on the right side of the draw, and he got the lead after round one. It looked like he was going to press on in round two, and he blew it in round two. And then that made it look like Justin Thomas's to lose after two rounds. And then it looked like Justin Thomas had blown it in round three. Would have been really disappointing with his round three effort. And then, as you say, because all those PGA Tour maidens faltered, he got back into it. But he was a huge price midway through that final round. Come charging through. That's his first major win for 5 years. 5 years between major win number one, major win number two. You know, there's lots of talk. Will that open the floodgates for him now? Maybe. You know, Augusta, we've backed him many a time for the Masters. I think it'd be massively on my radar for the next Masters. I'm not sure about the next two. But yeah, if I'm still alive for the 2023 Masters, I think Justin Thomas probably in the staking plan.
Well, I hope you will be. I mean, I suppose the thing is, yes, you know, big tick for him for overcoming the draw bias. But you could also argue it did sort of fall into his lap, didn't it? I mean, the inexperienced 420-somethings, Fitzpatrick, Zalatoris, Pereira and Young, they really were feeling it out, which is totally understandable. Very hard course. They've been, you know, in the heat of battle all week. Out of those four, which of those, and you know, they're all, like I say, not 30. Which of those do you think's got the brightest prospects of winning a major next?
I love Cameron Young. I don't think he did a lot wrong. I mean, the putter didn't behave for him on Sunday. We had a lot of frustration there. Taking the putter from off the green at the eighth hole. Do you remember that one? The eighth hole was a course management error.
It bobbled, didn't it?
Yeah, left himself well short. And I think round one, I think, was the one that probably cost him the tournament. He was slow out the blocks in relatively easy conditions in round one and shot 71. I wonder whether that slightly delayed preparation has something to do with it. His clubs went missing on the trip from Miami. So Cameron Young gets there on Monday, all ready to start his practice. The clubs don't arrive till Tuesday. I don't know how much that was to blame for, you know, what was a sluggish round one. But yeah, I think Cameron Young's, you know, the complete player, phenomenal driver of the ball. And I think every other department of his game is improving. So yeah, he's the one I like most of them.
I suppose what you could say, though, Steve, is if Will Zalatoris learns to putt, he'll win every tournament by six shots, won't he?
Yeah, but I mean, such an ugly putting stroke, isn't he? I mean, it's uglier than yours. And, you know, he talked a good game afterwards. He took defeat well. And yeah, the putt on the 72nd hole was a huge positive, wasn't it? Because he's staring back down the fairway. He knows that that's to get in the playoff. He's seen Pereira go in the water hazard. So, you know, he'll take a lot of belief from that because he hit a perfect putt at a big moment. But you can't get away from the negatives that he played much better in rounds one and two than he did in rounds three and four. You know, pretty patchy performance over the weekend, definitely tightened up. So, yeah, he needs to get the monkey off his back, doesn't he? That first win is weighing heavily on him, I think.
It certainly is.
And okay, then Mighty Mito, do you want to talk about Mighty Mito? I mean, again, I watch all these media conferences. I couldn't believe the amount of smiling from Mighty Mito. You'd be pleased to see. He was crying initially. The cameras cut to him crying. But by the time he 5 or 10 minutes later, he'd composed himself and he was smiling his way through the post-round media conference. Maybe he just realised at that point, you know, he would have bitten your hand off. He would have bitten your arm off for third place at the start of the week, wouldn't he?
A double bogey to fall out of not just top spot, but not even being the playoff. I mean, wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
I mean, he literally hit a wall of pressure, didn't he, with the swing on the final hole, the drive. Like, he couldn't get through the ball, late hit, sliced out into the trouble. So, I don't know. But, yeah, he seemed to take it well. And, yeah, that was the first time he'd made the cut in a major. But I prefer Cameron Young to the other two.
Okay, let's move on to our first tournament. It's the Charles Schwab Challenge over in America. And here's a price guide from Boyle Sports, who are offering 10 places. Fantastic. 15 to 2, Justin Thomas. 8, Scotty Scheffler. 11, Colin Morikawa. 11, Jordan Spieth. 12, Victor Hovland. 18, Sun Jae-im. 18, Will Zalatoris and Daniel Berger. And 20, Bar. So it's a really, really top-notch field, this, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. By the way, why was Sun Jae-im in the USPGA? I don't remember seeing him in that.
A COVID bout. We've still got the lingering COVID. Oh. Yeah. So he wasn't injured.
It's not like him to miss a tournament, is it?
No. He's finally got the COVID there, I'm afraid.
Okay. As we always say, obviously, there are different prices and place terms out there, so do check. But 10 places is something to go to war with. Give us the course background before we get the selection, Steve.
Colonial Country Club, Fort Worth, Texas, has been hosting PGA Tour events since the old King died, literally since the old King died. 7,209 yards, par 70, only two par fives. Always a classic test of precision over power. Hit it straight, putt well, you do well at Colonial. And this week's forecast is the weather forecast. Absolutely fascinating. Every day it gets progressively warmer and progressively windier. By Sunday, we've got 36 Celsius on the dial and consistent 22-mile-an-hour winds.
Cool, that's going to make it tricky, isn't it?
It's going to make it very interesting, yeah. You don't often see a forecast like that. We're both going up. Like, temperature starts cold, moves up, wind the same. I found potential it fascinating. Thunder. You might
know.
No, I do.
Potential thunder interruptions.
No, I don't think so. They just need to get their factor 50 on. You know, it's some serious heat coming into their faces.
How many selections?
Two.
What?
Two?
Two?
Two.
Goodness me.
We've done that. We do that occasionally. We did that with Scotty Scheffler for the Bay Hill one, didn't we? It can work and it will work.
All right, then. Who's the first of them?
Best bet of the week is Jordan Spieth. You can get 11 to 1, I believe, with all those places, with Boyle Sports, 12 to 1 generally. Jordan Spieth adores Colonial. He could break par at Colonial in his sleep. He feels so at home on this terrain. He knows every blade of grass. And experience counts for so much here. None of the last 20 Colonial events have been won by a PGA Tour made of this. Normally a place where you've got to serve your Colonial apprenticeship, learn how to score at this classic old track. Nobody in this week's field has better Colonial credentials than Jordan Spieth. He was seventh in this event on his debut in 2013. He was still a teenager back then. Subsequent visits, 14-2-1, three-shot victory in 2016. Then 2-32-8-10-2. So one win, three second places, seven top 15s and eight starts. Yeah, this is dreamland for Spieth. He loves the greens. There's been one thing holding him back lately. He's still not converting his share of putts on the greens, is he? He usually rolls them in from all parts at Colonial. He loves these greens. Last week was hugely frustrating for Spieth. It almost looked too good a chance, didn't it, for the Spieth Grand Slam. There was so much pressure, you know, that seemingly came from peaking for the biggest event of his year. You know, you talk about players going in not on the radar, going in under the radar. He couldn't have been more on the radar, could he? The radar was just going speech. That's just thinking about it. I can't remember a moment where a player has been more on the radar than that. And that rattled him. Yeah, the occasion got to him from the off. And I see him taking out those frustrations this week. His ball striking at the moment is fantastic. He won the Heritage with an ice cold putter. He was second in the Byron Nelson without holing a putt on the Sunday. This week, back in his home state, the pride of Texas. I just think he's a fantastic player. I made him favourite this week. And I think there's an extra layer of motivation. You might have a concern. You might be about to say to me, oh, is he going to be up for it after a busy
No, cup? I wouldn't say that. Of course he'd be up for it.
If you were going to say that to me, I would say there's an extra layer of motivation coming from his world ranking because he's up to world number 9 now. He's become an elite again. And it wasn't long ago. Last year, start of last year, he was very close to dropping outside the world's top 100. He'll be thrilled to be threatening world number 1 status again.
Positive motivation doesn't matter to me. I don't think that's a problem. I think if you're in it, you're expected to win it. There would be occasions possibly where some players are just using a tournament just to mess about. But I don't want them having extra motivation. I don't want them pumped up. I want them calm. I'm not interested in, oh, he really wants to win this. That doesn't do it for me. I see that as a negative.
Okay.
So what do you think of that?
I think Spieth's temperament. Yeah, you can't question Spieth's temperament. He's the ultimate warrior.
Yeah, but you want an even temperament. You don't want him pumped up and looking for it, do you?
Typically, you never have to worry about anything bothering Jordan Spieth. You know, he's fantastic between the years. I just think last week is just such a unique event for him. The USPGA is elevated above any other tournament by such an amount. And there was a hysteria. There was a hysteria around him. There was a frenzy.
But I don't think, don't forget, you're the most one of the most volatile humans I know in terms of personality. You're quite erratic, aren't you? You get very up and very down.
I don't think
you quite understand how level-headed most humans are, and that, you know, so I wouldn't worry too much on the motivation. But anyway, you make a very strong case for him, and with 10 places, given those form figures, we certainly don't want to start saying can't be out of the top 10, but 10 places is a nice little cushion, isn't it, if he doesn't get it done.
I honestly think if you blindfolded Jordan Spieth for this event, he might be able to get in the top 10.
Okay, well, let's hope he's not blindfolded. Who's the other selection?
Yeah, the only serious danger for me is Colin Morikawa, who should revel in this test of accuracy. He's so well suited to this course that he almost bucked that trend we were talking about in 2020 by winning on his debut. He lost a playoff to Daniel Berger. It was the first event back after the coronavirus suspension. You might remember it. It really anticipated the best field that had ever assembled at Colonial for the return of golf. And Morikawa nearly won it. He finished 14th last year. This year, third visit, I think he duels with Spieth for the title. I was a bit shocked on Sunday, Bruce. I don't know if you remember that some fella asked me what has gone wrong with Colin Morikawa during Sweet Spot Live. And I was struggling for an answer because I don't think anything's gone wrong with Colin Morikawa. Last week, he was just on the wrong side of the draw. He was in a really horrible atmosphere in his free ball. He had Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm and Colin Morikawa, the three highest ranked players in the field. It was like a pity party because they were on the wrong side of the draw. They were really angry. There was so much anger in that group and they were dragging each other down. I don't think Morikawa fans need to worry too much about that. There's nothing gone wrong with him. He's playing okay this year. He was second in the Genesis Invitational, top class event early in the year, fifth in the Masters. I think he knows it's time to step up a gear. I think he'll see this as a great opportunity to do so. When the market first opened on Monday, I thought Spieth and Morikawa were much too big. And I thought too much respect was given to Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler. The way I saw it was Spieth is his favourite for this event. With Morikawa and Scheffler joint second favourites.
Okay, well, the reality is Thomas and Scheffler are dominating the market. Well, they're certainly ahead of your two in the market. Have you got a preference for either of those two?
I slightly prefer Scheffler. I mean, for Justin Thomas, this is very much after the Lord Mayor's show, isn't it? I was surprised he didn't withdraw. Maybe he still will withdraw. Yeah, I think he'll struggle for concentration. Yeah, there's a lot of emotion after that victory. It was a massive moment. You know, winless for 15 months. I don't see how he applies himself for 72 holes here if he plays. Scheffler, I mean, yeah, obviously the Scheff's a sweet spot hero. He's got nothing to apologise for. But that missed cut last week ended... You know, the most purple patch in PGA Tour history. You know, I've never seen a purpler patch than that. And it was interesting how that coolness disappeared last week. You know, you talk about the anger in that group. You know, Scheffler was the most angry of them all. He was smashing, smashing a driver into the bag. I mean, he could have damaged the driver. It all went wrong late on. He suddenly went from being comfortably inside the cut line to missing out, and he was going bananas. So I think the chef, I don't know what that is. Maybe the world number one status is getting to him now, the weight of expectation, but I think we need to leave him in peace for a little bit.
Righty-ho. That was the Charles Schwab Open. Let's look ahead now to the Dutch Open on the Europe, on the DP World Tour, of course. We've got 8 places from Boyle Sports this week, and they bet 16-1 Bernd Wiesberger, 20 Jordan Smith, 20 Thomas Peters and Rasmus Højgaard, 22 Adrian Meronk, 22 Ryan Fox and Torbjørn Olsen, and 25-1 Barr. So are we... one of those fiddly little courses in the Netherlands. Steve, where are we this week?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it fiddly. I must say that the Colin Morikawa is 11-1 getting all those places with Boyle Sports. We forgot to mention, but 18-1 is available with fewer each way places. Okay. So we must mention that. And then we're off to Bernardus Golf in the Netherlands. 7,425 yards, par 72.
Oh, that's not fiddly. That's a monster.
No, you're right. 4 par 5s, designed by Kyle Phillips, opened in 2018, made its European Tour debut last year. Easy, generous fairways, hardly any rough, slow greens. 23 under par won it last year.
Who won it?
Christopher Broberg. Got back to winning ways. Yeah, Christopher Broberg. Second tour title 7 years after his first one. But yeah, we've got a bit of breeze in the forecast this week, so scoring won't be as low. Yeah, you're certainly going to need lots of birdies, though.
Okay, how many selections?
Four.
Wow, a very soprano four, Steve.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, a bit of throat.
Is that indicative of the lack of lead in your pencil right now, wind in your sails, let's say?
Yeah, I've still got a Southern Hills throat, shall we say.
Okay, matey. Righto, are you confident?
Very confident about the Charles Schwab. Playing the prices game a little bit more in the Dutch Open. It's a wide open affair. So, yeah, I've certainly got value selections.
OK, right. Who's the first of them?
And the first of them is Gorgeous George Coetzee, 40-1 with Boyle Sports getting all those places, 55-1 available elsewhere. Surprisingly juicy prices in pretty humdrum company. We're talking about 5-time European Tour champion here. Been ticking over quite nicely this season, 9th in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, 4th in the My Golf Life Open, 3rd in the Sunshine Tour Championship. Missed the cut by a shot in the Soudal Open last time out. Nothing to fret about. That's not his kind of venue. This week's assignment, much more Coetzee's cup of tea. Sorry, I struggled it. Much more Coetzee's cup of tea. You can attack with your driver here. Coetzee's got bundles of power. Always been a great putter. Plays well in the wind. I just fancy 4 low rounds from Gorgeous George. I think he's got as much chance as anyone in a wide open affair. He finished 50th last year, but he was in poor form. Expect better this time.
Okay. Who else do you like? Who's the main danger to Gorgeous?
Next best is Johannes Veerman. 55-1 getting your places with Boyle. 70-1 available elsewhere. It's another prize play, really. I mean, Veerman at his best has got nobody to fear in this lineup. He won his maiden European Tour title last year in the Czech Masters. Then he was 6th in the Dutch Open at Bernardus. We've only had 1 year at Bernardus. He was 6th in it. This year has been quite quiet for him, adjusting to life as a father, became a dad in January. He's missed the cut by a shot in his last two events. I'm going to take the chance at that price that he clicks back into gear at a course that we know he likes. He's turned 30 since his last event. Your 20s are behind you, Johannes. Time to knuckle down now. And he's got a Dutch dad, icing on the cake. He's got a Dutch dad, extra layer of motivation there. Do it for Jan.
Is he American? He sounds Dutch, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's very well travelled, is Johannes. Lived a lot of his life in Asia and then moved to the States. So, but yeah, his Dutch dad will be demanding a good performance.
Okay, third up,
Valco Niinibar, sweet spot regular, 80-1 with Boyle Sports getting your places, 125-1 available elsewhere. Three figure prices about a fantastic young talent in a low grade event on a course which suits him. Yeah, it's an irresistible package. This is a 22-year-old. He just needs one big week somewhere significant to kickstart his career. He hasn't got a DP World Tour card at the moment, which is Yeah, it's tough for him. It's tough for us. We want to see more of him. He's playing on a sponsor's invite this week. There's a reason that the sponsors are keen to get him in their events. He's going to be a superstar. He's played well in a couple of
games. Is he definitely, Steve? Because he just...
I think so.
He has mini purple patches during tournaments and then mini whatever the opposite colour is. he can play some absolute filth at his worst, can't he?
He's still raw talent, isn't he? And he's only 22 years of age. He's got too much ability to not convert that into something special. I think he is going to have a fantastic career. He just got his schedule wrong last year, ended up not having a DP World Tour card. Everyone wants him to get going again. He's almost done it this year. He was 10th in the Stein City Championship. He was 12th in the Qatar Masters. He showed bursts of form last week on the Challenge Tour. He played in really strong wins. We got strong wins this week. He played in strong wins in round one last week on the Challenge Tour and shot a 67 to take the lead. He's definitely in better form this year than when he turned up at Barnardus last year. Four missed cuts in a row before last year's event, yet he finished 22nd at Barnardus. So, yeah, I can't resist knee neighbour.
Okay. And finally,
Chase Hanna. Another sweet spot regular. I think he's good enough to win on the DP World Tour. 66-1 with Ball Sports getting your places. 80-1 available elsewhere. Showing up a lot on leaders.
Hang on a second. Is he a sweet spot regular? I can't remember.
Chase Hanna, he's not been around that long. But, he was a player to follow in the Racing Post pre-season package. And, we're not giving up on him just yet. He's shown a lot recently. He was runner-up in the Qatar Masters at the end of March, beaten by just a shot. And in his last two starts, sixth in the British Masters and fourth in the Sudal Open, tailed off over the weekend in the Dutch Open last year. But he's got competitive experience of the course. And, all four of mine have played this course. They played in last year's event. There's going to be one European Tour event at Barnardus. I wanted course experience, and my lot have done that. I think Hanna at the age of 27 looks ready for a breakthrough.
Where's he from, Chase Hanna?
America. Yeah. I got two South Africans and two Americans in my staking plan this week.
Oh, right. Excellent. Okay. Anything else to add on the Dutch Open?
I can have a spin through your market leaders if you want.
No, you don't have to. No. If you don't. No, there's nothing worth mentioning. We won't. Let's move on instead to our third tournament this week, which is the Senior PGA Championship. And Steve Stricker is 5-1 favourite, joint favourite with Boyle Sports, along with Stephen Alker. Six places available on this. Porrick Harrington is 9-1. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 11-1. Ernie Els, 18, along with Bernhard Langer. And it's 22-1, Retief Hoosen and the King, David Toms. What a brilliant tournament. There's loads of great names here, isn't there, Steve?
It is an attractive tournament, isn't it? And the course looks quite interesting. So, I think, we've got a three-pronged attack here. And, each way trebles, each way doubles. You can really fill your boots on the multiples.
I'll tell you what, I think I've probably backed every single person in this field in my life. Colin Morikawa Colin Montgomery's in there. VJ's in there. Lee Jansen, Billy Andrade, Rocco Mediate. Wow, it's brilliant, isn't it?
There's a time and a place for seniors golf, and I think it's probably what we need after last week's epic and ultimately disappointing USPGA. I think a seniors PGA is well timed.
Oh, I'm loving this. Brilliant. Tom Lehman, Rich Bean. Cough, excellent. Anyway, I've got all nostalgic there. Where are we? What's the course like?
We're at Harbour Shores in Michigan. 6,852 yards, par 71, designed by Jack Nicklaus. And we've got two tips for this. So we've got an eight-pronged attack on three tournaments, which, as I say, it allows you to have loads, decent stakes on doubles and trebles.
Yeah, lovely. Right then, who are the selections?
And the number one selection is Padraig Harrington, who I think is going to win bundles of Champions Tour titles. Such a driven character, golf obsessed. He's gonna squeeze everything from his golf game until the day he dies.
Do a Padraig Harrington face when he hits the golf ball. What's the actual, if you do a snap, a sort of freeze frame of him hitting it, it's this sort of.
Yeah, the tongue does come out, doesn't it? Yeah, that's
something
it.
Like that, isn't it?
yeah. It's actually clinically proven that having the tongue out helps your body relax. I did read a putting tip on that not that long ago, though. If you just like that, it relaxes you.
But no one's ever done that.
They should do. Yeah, they're probably too embarrassed to do it on tape. It might actually help. Just lull it out. Just relaxes all your muscles. So yeah, let's not diss Harrington for that. I mean, he'll know everything. He knows everything about there is to know about golf. He probably knows that lolling the tongue might help. You sometimes see horses doing that, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah. Actually, don't you?
Yeah, it's like even the animals, the instinctive horse knows that if he does that, he'd go faster. But yeah, do not diss Padraig Harrington. He is the man. I think he hasn't got off the mark yet on the Champions Tour. The Ryder Cup captaincy took his eye off the ball a little bit. You know, it's a big old job that. But now he's focused on his playing game again. I think he will become the dominant force on the Champions Tour. And I like backing 50-year-olds and 51-year-olds on the Champions Tour. I think those first couple of years are a big opportunity. You've got some players in their late 50s playing against you. It's a big quick deterioration between an early 50s and a late 50s in my humble. Harrington is 50 years of age. Still got great length off the tee. And the major venues are where his ball striking ability will surely count for most. He admits himself that putting is still drives him mad at times, but he sets up so many birdie chances. He's played in 5 Champions Tour events this year. He's finished second in 3 of them. I think he gets off the mark on Sunday. The forecast is for loads of breeze to be whipping across Lake Michigan. It'll feel quite a linksy type event for Pod, dual open champion. So yeah, I'm all about the Pod this week.
Okay, if there is a danger, who is it?
I think it's Alex Chaker, the defending champion, who we tipped for this last year. We've got to keep him on our team. He's another rock solid ball striker. R2 should be churning out greens in regulation in this. Chaker got disqualified from his last Champions Tour event for allegedly using an illegal green reading book. They're not allowed to use it. He had one on the go. So his Saturday 66 has been expunged from the record books, but it's not been expunged from my record books. That was a very good round, green reading book or not. And I think that shows he might be coming back in form to win another senior major. He's played in 5 senior majors and he's won 2 of them. I think Chaker will go close to a hat trick.
Forty to one. Fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, so we've got 3 really good tournaments this week. Let's reiterate the tips. We'll start with the Charles Schwab. What is it? The Charles Schwab Trophy.
Challenge.
Charles Schwab Challenge.
Jordan Spieth and Colin Morikawa.
And then we've got the Dutch Open.
George Kutsia, Johan Zwierman, Valko Nienaber and Chase Hanna.
And the senior USPGA.
Padraig Harrington, Alexander Chaker.
Brilliant. Love that. And if you're only having one golf bet this week, Steve, what would it be?
I think Jordan Spieth is the hardest one to see out the frame. You could have the Jordan Spieth, Padraig Harrington double. You could have the Jordan Spieth, George Kutsia double. Yeah, there's lots of multiple options there, isn't there? And, I urge ambition. Which I always...
I was hoping for one, but that'll do.
Jordan Spieth. He should be favourite, but the market's knocking it into shape now, and he might go off favourite the way things are going. But that's his rightful place at Colonial. That's his rightful place.
Righty-ho. Excellent. What have we got next week? What are the tourneys next week?
That's a good question. Have we got the Porsche? I think it might be the Porsche European Open. And the Memorial. Yeah, I think it's the Porsche.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, that's next week. There's a lot of water to flow under the bridge between now and then.
Is there ever? Yeah.
Have you got anything nice lined up between now and next week?
I'm panic-stricken. You might sense a bit of panic in me because those tickets haven't arrived yet for the Killers on Monday. You know, my daughter's 7th birthday present.
Oh, don't worry.
Been a huge build-up to it. She's desperate to see the blossoms. And, is it Tuesday today? Are they going to arrive before Monday? Do they always come late, these tickets?
I've had problems before. I've had big problems before. I think I booked some Reading tickets for my daughter and they didn't come till very late. I'll give you some advice off air about how to chase that up, okay? But don't worry, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time at the Killers. That'll be brilliant. Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Grace only 6 and she's going to see the Killers. Isn't that good?
Well, she's going to see the Blossoms. She doesn't even want to stay for the Killers. Yeah, she's just obsessed with the Blossoms of the support act.
What did I tell you about them?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Blossoms. Just Blossoms. So it's going to be quite awkward when she wants to go home after the Blossoms. And I'm saying, well, you go anywhere, love. You have a sleep there.
Brilliant. Oh, well, that'll be good. Well, good luck with the tips, Steve. Thank you very much, as always, for your company on the Sweet Spot. If you'd like to leave us your comments, let us know who you fancy. Hit that thumbs up if you're enjoying the show. bet responsibly, and hopefully you can join us for another Sweet Spot next Tuesday.